Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grip Lock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor. We got quite the show today, going over the Copenhagen Open, and then we'll go over the Las Vegas Challenge, and then we'll talk about their existence.
What's up?
Coexistence.
Trevor is just like in the most deep stare I've ever seen in my
People
life.
People comment timestamps every week of just Trevor contemplating his entire life on the show.
I can't wait to show that to you, Trevor.
I mean, give me a break. Like, I zone out sometimes, but then also, like, I don't get a ton of sleep these days. So, like, give me a break.
We'll also do a Trevor's trivia.
I wonder if I can do it on command.
We'll talk about Cole Riddell and rage quitting, and then I'll bring up this fun Reddit thread I saw and give our opinions on it.
Ooh.
So it's going to be a fun episode. Before we get into all that, I want to thank the sponsors of today's episode. Hey there, beach babes.
What up?
Hey. Talking to y'all. Are you ready to soak up those summer vibes and unveil your ultimate beach bod? Well, you're in luck, because our friends over at Manscaped have you covered from head to toe with the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. This is the ultimate all-in-one grooming kit, and it is set to have you looking and feeling your best in the summer sun. Trust Manscaped and unlock the confidence you need to turn heads this season. Join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for 20% off, and you can get 20% off in free shipping with code GRIPLOCKED. Let's make this summer your smoothest one yet. You can embrace your summer bod goals with all-inclusive Performance Package 5.0, perfect for those aiming for that crisp, clean, and confident look. The updated Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra Groin and Body Hair Trimmer got a summer makeover. It's waterproofed and designed for that splishy, splashy pool parties and beach hangouts. Oh. Post-trim care never felt so good with the Crop Soother Aftershave Lotion. For those sunny beach days, don't leave home without your Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant. And their Magic Mat Disposable Shaving Mat has your back and your front and everything else that needs grooming. It's like having a magician in your bathroom. Surprise!
Oh.
Ah!
Your purchase comes with a free Boxers 2.0 Midnight Bravo. Comfort and style that fits like a dream. So get 20% off and free shipping with code GRIPLOCKED over at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with code GRIPLOCKED at manscaped.com. The summer sun is here to stay, so trust Manscaped. Keep that body hair at bay.
I just got some new nice Manscaped stuff in the mail the other day.
Holy cow, Con.
So the Copenhagen Open went
down.
And I owe an apology to all you listeners because
you're a liar.
I was a dirty liar. I was just confused about the existence of this event, and I was wrong.
And we've all been confused since they announced Europe events at the beginning of the year.
So I didn't realize that DGPT Europe events were just normal DGPT events. Like, it's just a normal Pro Tour event.
I think I knew that those existed. I did not realize that
I thought they
there were
like,
as many as there are.
I thought they were just like the event before and event after the European
Open.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, the Sula.
Like, when everyone's there.
Right.
Those events. I thought that there was like the... Let me read this.
Well, when they first announced it, we all were like, oh my gosh, how many pros are going to jump over? Like, we're going to have this split tour. And then I thought we had all been like, oh, never mind. Like, breathed a sigh of relief, like, oh, they're just going to be silvers. But I guess we missed a part.
No, I think what the sigh of relief was, oh, they didn't schedule them all in a coherent, makes sense thing.
Or also, maybe our sigh of relief was we saw people's schedules come out and nobody was really going.
Maybe that was
might have been part of it.
Because this is how they work. So for the 2024 season, the DGPT will maintain 2 point standings, a Pro Tour World standings that awards points to the award spots to the 2024 Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship, and a standalone DGPT Europe point standing that will not award points towards the Pro Tour Championship, but instead will award 2025 tour cards and bonus payout to top finishers. So there's a standalone Europe and there's the world standings. DGPT Europe silver events will only earn points towards the standalone Europe point standings and will not count towards the world standings. However, all DGPT elite sanctioned events in Europe will be points eligible for both the world and the standalone DGPT Europe standings. That's what this was. The Copenhagen Open was an elite series event. So people earned points towards the world standings and towards this DGPT Europe point standings.
It drew a really big part of the American Tour.
It drew a few.
That was a joke.
I know.
It did not.
So you had Jesse Nieminen taking it down, and then Eetu Tuominen and Niklas Anttila tied for second. And then on FPO side, you had Evelina Salonen winning in a playoff over Kaidi Alsalu and Silva Saarinen in third. Evelina, this was actually a very impressive performance the stretch.
She's on a tear.
I'm pretty sure she was down. I had to do the math backwards, but if I remember correctly, I think she was like 9 through 5 holes in that final round. She had like slipped and fall and then just stormed back and hit a huge outside the circle eagle putt on 18. It was pretty sick to force a playoff, and then ended up hitting another big putt to win in the playoff. Now, one thing about like she hit this eagle putt, right? On hole 18, one thing that was fascinating about this hole 18 was it was a par 6 for FPO, which I think was the first time I've ever seen a par 6 in disc golf.
Yeah, the whole par 6 thing, and I'm going to have on debate night this week, I'll make sure to have everybody kind of give their take on it because I'm curious to hear what people have to say. But my opinion is if you need 6 shots to accomplish, or 5 shots, I guess we'll say, because if you're making par, 5 to get to the basket, if you need that many shots to accomplish the hole, I don't really think it's a good hole. Like, I think it would be very rare to have a hole where it actually makes sense. Because sometimes you have, let's take a par 5, right, where you have a tee shot to a landing zone and then a water carry, or there's a decision to be made somewhere in the middle. Like, there's usually a reason for those 5 shots. And sometimes the reason is just distance, and that's okay for a par 5. I think if it's a par 6, though, you better have a really, really good reason. Like the only feasible way I could see a par 6 making sense, and I don't even know if I'd even like it then, because I think it's just like at some point there's just too much golf in one hole. But the only way I could see it making sense is if you had this stretch of land and you're like, I could see this hole where there's like these 4 landing zones that you have to get to each one, and it really does require this many shots. Maybe there's a scenario like that out there. But I feel like when people make par 6s nowadays, because this isn't the first time I've ever seen one. It's happened in disc golf. I don't know if I've ever seen it on the Pro Tour. I've seen it in disc golf.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
There's other courses out there that have par 6s. But this is why they do them usually, is because they get to say, we have a par 6. And you know, disc golf loves that, like, course is impossible, like, thing. They get obsessed with it a little bit. Like, oh, you guys played hole 16 yet? Par 6. Like, they love dropping that little, like, oh, it's par 6. So, yeah. Or, you know, scenario number 2 is, because obviously par 6 was for the women, par 5 for the men.
Yeah, they just played from the same team.
I think what they did here is they just got lazy and they said, we're not gonna make a different tier basket, so we're just going to make number to the par.
I think where the tough part, looking at this course, this whole map, the tough part I think they ran into is, like, if they, because they, basically how this hole worked was you had a layup shot, and then depending on how aggressive you could play, like, you were going over OB to like a second landing area.
Yeah.
And I think they might, maybe there was a situation where, like, if they moved FPO up, like, in my opinion, just move the FPO tee up, and like, if you need to make it a par 4, make it a par 4.
Yeah, correct. It absolutely could have been done.
Regardless, it caused the drama at the end because you had Evelina able to make the 4 and Kaide, I wish I was better at pronouncing these names. Kaide was able to make the birdie still.
I don't think I could write down a 6 on my scorecard, even if it is par, and not get a little grossed out. Like,
this hole ended up for the FPO field in round 3 averaging 0.25 over par with 10 birdies and 1 eagle. So if this was a par 5, it would have averaged 1.25 over par with 10 pars and 1 birdie. Let me see if I go to, let me just look at like round 2 and see. It averaged even harder in round 2 with no eagles, 11 birdies. And then in round 1, it averaged actually under par in round 1 with 14 birdies. So
it playing easy that day.
It was playing easy that day. But yeah, you know, it averaged 6.25. It was just interesting.
Yeah,
the only hole that I can like see being a par 6 and it being in my head like okay, like whatever, is that hole 12 at Northwood Black. But even then, like, it's just a fine par 5. Nothing wrong with just a hard par 5.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a hole that it averages well over par and like it's difficult. Like, that's
par
fine.
Par is relative.
It is. Everybody's playing the same.
Just
the
make
same
it
hole.
Make it all par 3s.
If par is relative and it doesn't really matter anyway, then what is the harm in it being called a par 6?
It just starts to get silly.
Just sounds weird.
I think...
Well, like, what's stopping you from making a par 10?
Yeah.
I'm honestly just wondering what your opinion is on
that. I actually have less... My issue with this hole, like, Northwood, that hole, I think is different. Like, this is a hole that was actually so long that they felt like they had to make it a par six. I think the hole was too long. Like, I think it was just too much golf for one hole.
Well, it was only 1,000 feet.
Well, it played long enough that it was averaging over par as a par six. That's why, like, for the FPO field, I think it was playing too long.
Well, I think we also do have to factor in this was not a normal FPO field.
It's true. But I think
you only had three players above 950, only five above 940.
With par, as a course designer with par, what you really have the ability to do is control the vibe of your course, right? Because you can take, let's take a really hard course that has mostly par fours and fives, and if you, or mostly par threes and fours, and if you bump them up to fours and fives, all of a sudden you have an easy course, right? And if you shrink them down, you have a harder course. So as a course designer, you have that control. And I think there's a lot of discussion about, like, okay, you have a hole, let's say you have a par five that is getting eagled too much, or it's getting eagled, let's just say 10% of the time, like, which is a lot if that was a whole tour doing that. Do you just say, okay, well, yeah, it's an exciting par five, it's easy to eagle, we should keep it that way? Or do you say we should make this a, because now all of a sudden, if it's only being birdied 10% of the time, it's very hard, right? If you make it a par four. So now it's like, do we change it to a par four? And there's a lot of discussion on, like, when these things should be moved around. I think it's about, where do you want players to be throwing their shots, and what do you want that to look like? Do I want players to be going for a green and two because there's danger around? Then maybe I keep it a par five to entice that. Or do I think if I have it a par five, is it going to encourage players to play safer than one? It's all about using par to control what you want players to do on that hole, because it will change what they do. There is very much a connection with, especially in disc golf, which is a pedal to the metal sport. You go out to a new course and guys don't know what score wins out there, they are going to think they need to shoot double digits every single round to win. So by using the par, you can make them play more aggressive. Absolutely. Now, it's different when they go back to, if they go back to Northwood next year and they saw what Presnell did this year, a lot of players are going to change their strategy at that point. It's different. But especially these newer courses on tour, like, you can use your par to your advantage, because the players are going to think birdie. They're not just going out there thinking, let's shoot a few under par. That's not the case.
It would be interesting, because, like you're saying, par is relative, but it does affect people's mindset.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, like, for instance, in your...
They don't want to take par on tour. They do not want to.
In your case, where you had a par five, right, and 10% were eagling,
yeah,
if you change that to a par four, you'll find this group of people that were playing for birdie that still play for birdie, and now it might go from a 10% birdie, right, because you made the par easier, to 15 or 20% birdie, because you took this group that's like, well, I'm just going to lay up for the birdie. I'm not even going to attempt the eagle, that is now going for that, so you can change that. It would have been interesting in this case, had they made it a par five for the FPO, would there still have been only one eagle, or would there have been players that were going for it because now that's for birdie? Because if you have a par... Making par never feels as good, even though, again, like, what's funny to me is there's still this group of the new players to tour, I don't think, do this nearly as much because we're just in a different era of disc golf. But some of the older players on tour, I haven't talked to someone who said this in several years, but if you go back to, like, 2021, 2020, there was a lot of players that played every course as a par 54 in their head.
Yeah.
And so you would ask them, like, how'd you shoot? And it would get confusing sometimes, because I remember...
What did I shoot, to threes?
Like, I think it was James Conrad after a USDGC round or something. He said he shot... It was something like he shot, like, let's just say two up. Okay? And so I forget who I was with, but we were like, two up? Dang. Like, but he was, like, happy about it. And then we realized he shot a 56. But, like, in your head, like, that... Because disc golf, that's where it came from. It was, like, all par threes.
Yeah.
That's what when... I used to play Liberty's East Campus course, everything was a par three to us in our head. It wasn't. There was a few par fours. That was mainly because we could never remember what, like, the pars were just jacked up on that course. It was easier to say all threes. But, like, that's the mindset a lot of people came from in disc golf, was just, like, you're playing all the par threes. But that's not where we're at anymore, because now, like, if you go to Northwood Black, par, what is it, 69, and you try to shoot, and you're going to be, like,
almost a golf
You're going to be like, oh, my gosh, I was 10 over. And it's like, oh, 64, I shot 5 under. Yeah. It was actually a really good round, but 10 over sounds way worse.
And people, like, every time a par 6 gets brought up and thrown in, like, I've heard it get talked about more than I've seen it implemented. But every time it gets talked about and people fight back, like, there shouldn't be par 6 in disc golf. And people love to hit them with the disc golf, you know, stands love to hit them with the, like, what, we have to be like golf with everything? Like, we can't have a par six? Like, what's wrong with having a par six? It's like, it's not the principle. It's that I think like that many shots per hole is just boring. Like, they're,
well, it's also the fact of
that's the problem.
In par six would almost make more sense in golf. Because par in golf, you know, you typically have shots to hit the green and then two putts. In disc golf, like if
when you hit the green, it's one putt most of
the time. A par six would literally mean it took you five shots to get to the green.
Yeah.
And like that's just so much golf on one hole.
So,
you could have four cards playing one hole at the same time.
20 shots amongst a card potentially or more before you get to the putting.
Not to mention for a 1,000-foot hole, I mean, the par six is just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why like the length was. Now it was like it forced a very chippy tee shot.
That's why
it's similar to like hole six at New London, where hole six at New London's only 1,200 feet,
but
like you just can't bite much off the tee.
That's why it played some. It's that tee shot, but yeah, it should have been. They should have moved the tee up to that end of that spot and then made it a par four.
Well, it's actually let's because
MPO
moved
the basket back like 100-200 feet.
MPO played the same hole 18. Yeah, and for MPO it averaged 5.04. And there was 36 birdies in that final round.
Yeah.
So for MPO, it played fine. MPO is a fine hole.
It is really interesting. Yeah. The whole pars in disc golf is really interesting. One of my favorite courses ever is that like pitch and putt like near my parents' house, Crooked Creek, and every hole is under 250 feet. There might be one that's 300, maybe, but there's a whole bunch of par fours, and they don't make any sense that they're par fours. But it does make it a lot of fun to play.
How old is the course? How old is it?
It's not. I mean,
I say because at Peaksview there was a lot of par fours because it was designed when they were using ultimate frisbees.
Yeah, there are a lot of courses like that in Charlotte that have just been around that long. But Crooked Creek, that park is fairly new. Probably 20.
I think they had the
15, like, 16. Probably 2016. I would say so. Not that old.
So they just said screw it.
Yeah, I think so whoever designed it's a beginner. It was made for. But it's pretty technical. I mean, if it was just a par three course, it's just like a super fun really technical pitch and putt. But the fact that there's par fours.
So
on
what's
there,
your course
like,
record then, in counting the par fours?
Only 12.
Connor, dude.
Connor, man.
We got to go play it.
I want to so bad.
It'd be fun.
Peaksview, I think there was the Arrow at least, because designed in the mid to late '80s.
Or was it after that?
When was Peaksview Park?
Was it the mid or the late '80s? Because there's a big difference there. I mean, mid-80s is when disc golf was just first existing.
1998 is when it was designed.
Okay, well, then they definitely had discs at their disposal.
Yeah, but I don't think they didn't have, like, full drivers.
Just not drivers yet, maybe?
That's when Peaksview was designed?
No, that's not true. They had drivers.
But, like, the Eagle. I'm saying I don't think the Destroyer or anything like that.
Well, no, they didn't have. I don't think they had distance drivers.
Yeah.
So, never mind. The guys that just designed Peaksview, they just sucked.
Yeah.
They're just trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, hole one and two were par fours to the shorts back in... But when I started playing, it was still par four.
It's trash because you can throw
17 is a par four. I could understand.
Well, I mean, you know,
it still wouldn't be right, but you could understand it. It was fun getting eagles.
They're probably all rounding. And
that's
stuff.
Why, at the end of the day, sometimes it's fun just to get an eagle.
Yeah.
If it's a beginner course, let it be a beginner course.
What's now, back to disc golf. Evelina Solonen kind of won the way you would expect her to. She led the field in parked percentage, circle one in regulation, circle two in regulation, gain tee to green, and all of that. But 50% C1X putting on the weekend.
Baby. It's all it takes. I love Evelina's game. I love that she just goes out there and just dominates people off the tee, and she'll just chuck it once she gets inside the circle. Just chucking it around. 50%, baby.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
13 to 26.
Take it to the bank. You can putt as good as you want. Who led the field in putting?
Silva Saarinen at 86%.
Yeah, what did she come in? What place did she come in?
Third.
Take that.
She lost by seven.
It just feels good, like knowing that's out there.
Putting sucks. Throwing rocks.
That's right. Yeah, putting sucks, man. Hate it. Mine's fixed though.
Trevor's putt is fixed. It's kind of terrifying. I'm not gonna lie. I wish I don't have my phone and my Discord's not loading. But Evan from StatMando, it's not loading. What the frick? Do you have your Discord?
I sure do.
Go to the Griplock server in Discord. Shout out to our Discord, by the way. You can go over there and join in on a lot of conversations that go down.
The Griplock server?
Like the Grip? No, the Griplock channel.
I was like, I'm in the Griplock server.
No, the Griplock channel.
Okay.
He explained how strokes gain putting works.
Oh, good man.
Didn't make sense to me, but I'll let you read it.
Okay. This is on the topic of what we were talking about. Missy Gannon had a better strokes gained C1X than Haley King, even though she had a better percentage. So strokes gained is a metric to find the value of where you threw from to where your throw lands. That means where a missed putt lands is important to the calculation. Oh, man, mine would suck. Missing a C1X putt but landing in bullseye is a better outcome than missing a C1X putt and landing in C2. Strokes gain will quantify that aspect. It uses the expected strokes from a round basis and does not relate to par. So the equation is expected strokes throw starting location minus expected strokes throw landing locations minus number of throws taken equals strokes gained on that throw. There's a whole lot more there, but I think the important thing was there that it has to do with where your missed putt lands. That's
I just responded and said, I'm not going to question the stats I read anymore. I'm just going to understand there's someone smarter than me behind them.
Yeah,
I read that whole thing and I was like, I think I get what he's saying, but I don't really care.
I guess that makes sense because it's rewarding you, in disc golf at least, that stat is rewarding you for hitting metal, basically. And yes, there's anomalies because you can roll away, but if you chain out or you're hitting metal, your putt is probably going to land, or, I mean, there, and yeah.
Well, I think, I'm probably about to say something that doesn't make sense.
Okay.
But I'm just going to say it anyway. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
So it's just not accurate. Because, like, you can have a better strokes gain putting, but lose strokes putting. Well, if someone is making long putts. Does that statement make sense, though, what I just said?
I don't know.
Like, if I missed every 10 footer mm-hmm. to 35 feet.
Yeah.
And then I made every 35 footer. Uh-huh. And you missed every 10 footer to 20 feet, and you missed one.
No, I think the total amount of putts you throw is still in the equation. It's still part of the equation.
I don't know, man. Well, no, it is a fact because Missy Gannon putted worse than Haley King, yeah, but had
but
more strokes gained putting.
But it was by like one putt.
But it's a lot. It's still just an incorrect. It can be incorrect.
I don't know if it makes it incorrect. It just is what it is.
But you know what I'm saying? Is like Missy Gannon gained...
The stat isn't...
Or Haley King gained more strokes on Missy Gannon on the putting green, yet lost in strokes gained putting.
I guess.
It's an right? anti-spin putter stat. That's what it is.
Yeah,
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's what's getting Hunter fired.
This is tyrannical.
It's the push putter stat.
Yeah.
You should be really upset about this, Hunter.
That is ridiculous, man.
Again, I'm just going to stop questioning stats and just accept them, because I don't even want to talk about strokes gained tee to green. I don't even want to think about what that is.
Yeah, it does like hurt. A lot. Yeah. That one seems easier to me because that one is just like, I think that's just how many strokes does it take you to get to the green?
Does it? Is that what it means?
That's just disc golf.
That should be.
Well, no, because it just factors, just
the game
just
of factors golf. Out
strokes
like, all
gain,
the putting
strokes
part.
Gain tee to green is just the total score.
No, it just takes out. It just takes out the putting.
Wait,
equation.
To 54?
Yeah. No, but the strokes gain putting, I just have given up trying to understand it. I just accept that it is a stat, I will read it.
Can Evan from Stat Mando, can you make like a fun like video with like graphics and like colors and stuff?
Yeah, and like make it less than a minute.
And like a fun animation thing.
And
it's like,
send it to
this
Connor.
This is how strokes gain putting
vertical.
Works.
Please vertical too. I can't turn my phone sideways.
No, I don't
want to
turn my phone sideways.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Who would want to scroll like this, man?
It'd be fun to, it'd be funny to have like Connor do statistical breakdown. And
no,
like Connor,
wouldn't, dude.
So like Connor
an
has
emotional
to,
mess.
Yeah, every week we give Connor a different stat, like strokes gained putting, and then Connor has to explain it to us.
Yeah,
the scenarios.
That would be rough, dude.
He did. It's right here.
Oh my gosh,
you guys should, dude. If you guys saw the video on our main channel of the Walk of Shame, whatever Mulligan, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a bad mental state trying to do the math for that video.
The strokes gain thing. I'm going to read it and I'm going to take it for what it is.
Yeah. I just wish I understood it. In MPO, we had Paul Ulibarri coming out the gates hot and then slowly settled into a fourth place finish. Had he held on, it would have been his second career Elite Series win and first since 2011, where he won the Brent Hambrick Memorial, which was an NT event back then. But he didn't. In the end, however,
but he didn't.
It was in the end, it was Jesse Niemann who was able to hold off Nick Lawson and E2 that were trying to chase him down. I don't remember his lead getting lower than two during that final round. He just felt in control. Like it just took one mistake for it to like fall out of his hands. But
there's a lot of people on.
He took
tail.
It down.
This was supposed to be Yuli's like fraud win.
That's what I'm selfishly happy Yuli didn't win.
You're a sicko.
Because well, like
Jesse Niemann's like playing on tour though.
Yeah.
So like it's fraud win for him too.
See, this is where let's just get into this, right? What's your take on this event as a pro tour, as a full pro tour stop receiving full pro tour points?
I think it's a bunch of garbage.
So do you consider... Let me ask you this way.
I care a lot less about the points than I do about like the fact that you can be like, yeah, I won a Pro Tour.
I'll say, do you consider Jesse Niemann to have a Pro Tour win?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, then, I would agree here.
But then now ask me like, but like, do you really?
But do you really? Okay. Let's do this. Let's go more legit win or less legit.
Okay.
Jesse Niemann in Copenhagen compared to Big Germ USDGC.
Oh, the rain out? Oh, gosh. Big Germ USDGC. It's still really hard to lead that tournament after three rounds.
Okay.
Much better competition.
Copenhagen Open or one of the silver events last year that had a like solid field.
Which one? There are some silvers that had better fields than this, for sure.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
One of those.
Oh, like so which one's more of a Pro field. Tour win?
Yeah, which one's more of a Pro Tour win?
By definition,
No. I'm asking you. Just by feel, Trev.
By feel... And if I was like thinking about who wins player of the year and I had to factor it in, I would say the stronger field silver event.
Okay. Final question here.
Yeah.
Jesse Niemann winning the Copenhagen Open.
I'm going to be banned from Europe.
Or Connor Rock winning the Las Vegas Challenge the same weekend with a stronger strength of field, even though it was just an A tier.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Connor Rock's win is more impressive.
Wow.
Absolutely it is.
I didn't realize he married Chris Rock.
He outdueled Gannon and Calvin. What the heck was up with that?
We'll talk about that in a second.
That was crazy.
So, no, where I stand on it is Jesse Niemann is a Pro Tour winner.
Can't deny it. Can't deny it.
Because this isn't like silver events in Europe. Yeah, I'll deny that all I want. Silver events last year, I'll deny that all I want. They aren't full Pro Tour, but this is a full Pro Tour. This is an Elite Series event. Mm-hmm. It's a full Pro Tour. Jesse Niemann can't help who showed up in this event.
Let me give Jesse Niemann his flowers. Number one,
he showed up and beat the field.
He beat who is in front of him. And number two, he doesn't have control over who shows up or not. He was there.
I bet you he's okay with the fact that other players didn't show up because it meant that he won. Possibly.
Oh, there it is.
You
wow.
dirty dog.
So, Connor,
dude.
Let me just get this
straight then, Connor.
So, you think that if Connor accidentally doubled down.
I feel like I always get in these situations where I feel like I just say what we probably shouldn't have said, and I didn't realize we were trying not to say it.
Let me just ask you a question then. If Anthony Barella, Gannon Burke, Calvin Heimberg, Ricky Wysocki are all in this field, you're telling me Jesse Niemann doesn't win?
Yeah, I think I'm telling you that.
What would?
Sorry, Jesse.
What gives you the precedent to say that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're a dirty dog, dude.
I hope Jesse doesn't watch.
Did you know
that he came top 10 at chess.com?
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't realize he was a chess player.
Yeah, and
did you know he came top 12 at Texas States?
Who was in front of him though?
Hey, little rat snake.
We won't mention his 104th at Music City, 74th
at
Jonesboro.
This does not need to be a Jesse Niemann slander session.
I'm not. I was backing Connor. Connor was saying,
dude.
Connor was the one saying that if those players were there, Jesse Niemann wouldn't have won.
You know what? You know who
I
was
apologize.
There? Nicklas Antola.
I am a rat
Nicklas,
snake.
He beat Nicklas
top five,
by
top
two
five
strokes.
In the world this year, and he
yeah,
beat him.
He
so
won
you know what?
Awesome.
Jesse
you know who else is there?
Better than Nicklas.
Paul Ulibarri. Greg Barsby.
I think
the silver lot. Yeah.
Nicklas being there was actually very big for him because, like, Nicklas is a guy that probably should have won this event.
Yeah, no, this is one of these
he
events.
He's the best player there.
This is one of those events that if you're Nicklas walking into.
Well, you know, and Nicklas has beat all those other players before.
That's true.
So just kidding. Jesse is better than everyone else in the world.
You have to. At this
event. I'd have to.
Currently, he is the current Pro Tour reigning champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of Pro Tour events.
What if Rory
McIlroy
was there?
According to Trevor Feel. Trevor Feel,
yeah.
Maybe not, but technically, yes.
Yeah. No, I'm okay with this one. I'm okay with calling Jesse Niemann a Pro Tour winner. I'm also okay with saying that Evelina Salonen has two Pro Tour wins and one major win.
Dude, Evelina, man, player of the year.
She has a 130-point lead or something like that on Kristen Tatar in the Pro Tour standings so far this year.
I mean, Kristen's over there in Europe.
Yeah, but not playing this event.
So, what are you doing, Kristen? We like enjoying time with your
now,
daughter.
Now, I will say it feels
driving a Porsche
it does feel weird that there was no Jomez coverage coverage.
You get
of this
a Porsche
event?
From Estonia to Denmark.
Surely it's all connected. Yeah, I mean, you could also ship it if you wanted.
That's probably
you can
a long
do anything
drive.
If you set your mind to it, Trevor.
It felt weird. There was no Jomez coverage. Like it was basically just on DGN, and then this MDG media had coverage of it. Meanwhile, Gatekeeper had coverage of the Las Vegas Challenge. Round one, front nine, the Las Vegas Challenge had over four times the viewers.
Yeah, because the carbs
the Copenhagen.
Were sick.
And
Las Vegas is a dope event, and they never should have taken it off tour.
I would say, this is what's weird to me, okay?
So stupid.
This event had a stronger strength of field than the Copenhagen Open. It was on route from where we just were to or at least close enough, to where we're going to the OTB Open.
Yeah, real close.
Yeah. Like it's like within...
If you got to draw a line from Kansas to California, like it's not that crazy to get to Arizona.
So like it was
Las
very
Vegas.
Well attended. Why wasn't this just a Pro Tour event?
I think the reason this got kicked off the Pro Tour really just comes down to they subbed it out for Florida and didn't want to take any of the other events away. I think that this one just was like...
But like why we got to take stuff away? Like we had an off week in the States.
Yeah, I
the
guess
pro
it,
players
I guess
it
has more to do with
it.
The Europe push more. I listen, I don't understand because we went to Wild Horse last summer and we were met with the like most like they were so embracing of disc golf. They had the Las Vegas trophies like in their trophy cabinets with the golf trophies. They had disc golf in their pro shop. They had the banners still up. They keep the course around all year. Like It was awesome. Playing that course rocked. And I always find it to be a pretty entertaining tour event. I think the chess.com is like, that's fine to be the opener of the tour. I think it makes sense. It starts in Florida. But yeah, I mean, I miss that event. I really hope it goes back. I wonder if there's something like, I wonder if there was like a numbers discussion that didn't go the way that
there had to be something because like this, where the event landed, like would have fit into the Pro Tour schedule. Like obviously it would have had to happen the same weekend as the Copenhagen Open, but like,
I mean,
you can look at all the numbers in the field to know that people would have cared more.
Then. Like, if you gotta...
Well, no, make the Copenhagen a silver.
Well, yeah, I was just trying to give him a better compromise.
Or schedule the Europe, like schedule a European swing. You know, like, make it, like, after OTB or after one of these events when everyone, like, is going towards the European Open. Like, schedule, like, two or three events around that, and that's that.
What was the purse in Vegas?
Vegas purse was... I mean, the winner took home $4,000.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a Pro Tour. It was just an A tier.
Yeah.
I mean, for an A tier, that's great. Let me see. Projected payout.
Poop.
For an A tier, $47,000 was the MPO value. There was $13,000 added cash.
Yeah, it's like half.
That's great for a Pro Tour, though. Or for an A tier, I mean. It's great for an A tier. It would have been more if there was a Pro Tour, because obviously, put a lot more sponsorship and stuff.
Heck yeah, bro. Masters Cup also, man. Make that a Pro Tour too. All right.
Nah. Masters Cup.
Who won Masters Cup? Did
Ezra Robinson took it down.
Let's go.
It has to kind of like suck to be in Arizona or be where the Masters Cup is. And like you used to have like a super well attended, pros came there all the time to this event. Yep. Massive like tour stop. And now it's like the Masters Cup had Ezra Robinson, Josh Anton.
They also
and like,
had, that region also had Memorial too.
That's what I'm saying. Arizona was Memorial.
Yeah, yeah, like, Memorial and then Masters Cup.
Well, Masters Cup's in California.
Right, but I'm saying in that region.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But like Memorial, you still at least in Memorial have AB and you have, like there's still big time players that come and play. But like that has to suck as a community. Like
dude,
the
West Coast has gotten crushed on the pro disc golf scene and like, I don't know, man. Like, at the end of the day, well, you can't just say that the Pro Tour is going where the people are because they're not. They still play events
in Emporia,
Kansas. I think there's different reasons for why there's an event there. But, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I mean, Jeff Spring, you know, he's from Vermont, the other end of the earth, basically. So, I don't know if he's just like they don't want to bring the tour out there, if they don't think that the reception would be good enough or they haven't seen enough reception from the West Coast events, but it's very interesting. Like our sport originated in California and it stops there one time.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
And it's the OTB. Because like to me, I'm wondering if part of the problem is like they would just have to go to a golf course. And maybe all the golf courses in and around LA just are like...
There is that point where, like, the obviously the disc golf parks In California, they don't have a ton of space. Like, you can't go to La Mirada and play a pro tour, really. They had like kind of an XL layout, but they're not huge parks. So yeah, maybe it's just expensive to rent golf courses out there. And there was like, obviously there were some political reasons they weren't going to certain states last year, but that doesn't seem to be a factor at all this year.
No.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen Las Vegas still been a pro tour. Cause like what other professional sport is there an event that's not on tour that's statistically harder to win than an event that is on tour?
I don't know. Trail running? I don't know.
Trail running doesn't really have a tour.
Yeah, like I don't know.
I don't know, just because it just happened. And it happens every year at some point.
Yeah.
But like you had like the Copenhagen Open, a full elite series, was just statistically easier to win than what Connor Rock did at Vegas, yet history won't remember him.
Yeah. Connor Rock, man. How many rocks do you think Connor Rock has?
I don't know, but what I do know that Connor Rock did is he beat Gannon Burr, Calvin Heimberg, Isaac Robinson, Bradley Williams, Casey White, Gavin Babcock, Ricky Wysocki, Emerson Keith at the Alden Harris.
Nate Sexton.
Jake, who the heck is this guy?
At the Las Vegas Challenge.
He's just a young gun out of Arizona.
I've never
heard
of him.
So
he shot a scorching 14 under to win.
His best finish on tour so far is 25th at Jonesboro. Everything else on tour this year has been outside the top 40, so he kind of just popped up out of nowhere. But one by one over Gannon, came in second.
He shot a 1090 final round and just wiped.
I'm wondering, he was on lead card, it looks like.
Yeah.
I was curious if he came from chase card or
he beats
like,
Gannon by one shooting a 1090 round. That's what I'm saying. Like
1080.
Yeah, it ended up being 1080.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
see,
OR
and ER.
OR.
Yeah, it makes sense. The OR's have it in the genes. OCR's missed out.
That final round was nuts.
Yeah.
Like, even if he shoots like on pace with a lot of the rest, and we also had a scorching 14 from was it Bradley as well?
Bradley Williams, yeah.
But like, yeah, he just popped off. That was sick.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was kind of surprised Ricky Wysocki. I mean, Ricky lost by 10.
Yeah, Rick is
that kind of surprised me. I thought because like when I think of Las Vegas, like Gannon comes to mind, Calvin comes to mind. They were both up there. That makes sense. Ricky typically would also come to mind. Lost by 10 because like who. 10 strokes, I don't know how far that and that would put him on the leaderboard if this was a pro tour. Obviously, you can't really think like that because it wasn't a pro tour, but I don't know. Something to think about.
Slow start for Rick, man. No wins yet.
But it hasn't been like that
not
slow.
Not slow as far as his finishes. I just like, mean he's slow, and then he's played a lot of events now and not won one.
Yeah, went 2nd, 10th, 17th, 12th, 3rd, 3rd, 5th.
Yeah, he's
so far.
He's been in contention plenty.
Yeah.
Rick's the new Calvin.
He needs a win. He does need that. I will give you that. Before we get into the fan favorite segment of Trevor's Trivia, I want to tell you about our Heiser Club. It's been a little bit since we shouted this out. Let me just read you some of the benefits you get if you become a Heiser Club member.
Tell me about the bennies.
There's basically three different tiers. Each tier earns you different benefits, but some of them include ad-free grip lock. So if you're listening to this right now and you're like, man, where's the skip button? You wouldn't have to think about it anymore because you wouldn't be hearing this right now. Ad-free grip lock. We also have a weekly Q&A show called The Mailbag where we answer the most crazy and random questions about whatever you ever could ask or wonder. And, you know, basically
so
we hang out with a bunch of our best friends who are our Patreon members. So if you want to be a part of that community and that crew, you can get in on the mailbag.
So many of them by name.
Say
shout
one.
Shout out Kent Bontrager.
There you go.
Shout out Jeff Magaway. Mm-hmm.
The Magaway brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of them changes his name like all the time.
That's true. Right now
currently,
he's Trevor Magaway.
Currently Trevor Magaway.
There's also behind the scenes posts that Jason does. He does a lot of unboxings too. My In the Bag is actually dropping exclusively over there this week.
Oh,
so if
what?
You
want to
see,
let's go, hon.
Look into my In the Bag. There's also exclusive monthly videos that we create just for that. And there's also contests.
Current leader in the monthly video poll. We play New London with one speeds only. Sickos.
That's brutal. You can also get in on discounts depending on your tier. You can find all this and more over at patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. And I want to thank all the patrons who have already subscribed over there because y'all are a big reason for why we get to do what we do in each and every day. So if you want to be a part of that community, the Heiser Club, head over to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf.
One more thing you can get into if you stick around long enough is you can get an invite to next year's Heiser Club Championship if you're a certain tier.
Well, if you're annual.
Annual
member, yeah.
Tier, yeah.
Yeah, because the Heiser Club Championship dates should be announced hopefully this week, which is super exciting. Waiting on a B. Smith to
a certain
get us
Dark
back.
21.
Yeah. They're waiting for a dark horse to ride in with the dates.
Forever dark horse, guys.
Yeah, super exciting stuff. So, all right, time for the fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia. All
right, guys, new game alert. We're going to play a game called Guess the Bag.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you a player and a year that I got this in the bag from.
Wow.
And then you are going to guess, try to guess, go back and forth and try to guess the molds in their bag playing against each other. Now, the way molds. This works is the more of that mold in this player's bag, the least amount of points it's worth. You want to try to get the rare molds that are red or rare in the bag.
Okay.
Now, we can go back and forth until we can't get any, and so that's... We'll say we go back and forth until each of you guess wrong twice in a row. It's like, okay, if Hunter guesses wrong, then it's over.
Got it.
Okay. There's also, so there is the most of a mold in this bag is 4. That's only worth 1 point.
So we're
point.
Just doing one bag.
Yes.
Okay.
The most of a mold worth in this bag is 4 of the same mold, and that's only worth 1 point. And then for the disc that there's only one of, it's worth 4 points.
Okay.
There's also 2 molds that are very difficult to get, and I'm giving them each a 5-point value. They're the bonus molds.
Okay.
It does not matter the plastic. This is mold specific.
Got it.
The player and then year. This is Paul Macbeth, 2012.
Okay. Who's going first?
Connor, you can lead off.
I know, I don't know if he carried it this early, but I know he only carried one gator. But did he carry a gator in 2012? I'm going to go gator.
There you go. That would be 4 points because he only had one gator. Hunter.
2012, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the crate year. Give me the crate.
Only had one of those. 4 points.
That's not a 5-pointer? Dang.
5-pointers, I think, are a little tougher.
There's some that I know that
he had.
That
was close. Those were both the... there's still some other 4-pointers, though.
There's some that I... Is this that year?
We're just going to end up like, we're going to ignore the common stuff, and we're going to miss 4 in a row trying to guess the 5 points.
I think I'm going to go for the fun one. Is this
some of the common ones?
Is this the monster year? I'm going monster.
Dang it. If the monster would have been a 5-pointer and the crate would have been a 4, we would have been throwing hands.
What year did he have a monster in his bag?
It was later.
It was later, yeah.
Dang. Well, it was still fun. I had fun.
2012, Paul. Okay, well, let's just go with the AVR.
The AVR, he had 3 in his bags. So that's 2 points.
What's he doing with that third AVR, man?
2 putting putters and a throwing one.
He threw an AVR back then?
Yeah, okay, well, at least I can get some points back. I know he didn't have 3 Firebirds. So, did he have a Firebird at this point?
He switched a lot of different discs in and out of that slot. It's a scary one to go with,
That's a scary one to go with, Con. Yeah, never mind. I'm not staying away from that. I need some points here. I'm going to go... with a T-Bird.
T-Bird he had 2 of, so that is 3 points. Okay. Hunter.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
I'll send it with the Firebird.
He had 2 Firebirds.
Yeah.
3 points.
Ooh, you brave man.
Because I think he went to the FD3 next, but that would have been
later.
That's
what I was thinking, FD3. Yeah. Okay. Now I'll go Thunderbird.
I don't think it came out yet.
Thunderbird did not exist.
Oh, yeah. Con, you poop pants. You big poop pants. When does Thunderbird come out?
I like 2015.
Yeah, I think somewhere around there.
Dang.
Because that was like, maybe. Might as well have been Paul's disc.
Yeah. But he still had T-Birds in his bag. Remember the Thunderbird?
But he would have went down to like one T-Bird.
T-Bird 3s at
that
point.
Yeah, he went T-Bird 3s at that point. I'll go with the Destroyer.
Destroyer he had four of. That is 1 point.
Yeah. I just had, I mean, someone had to get the point.
Yeah. There's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different molds.
Dang. Daggum.
Still some incredibly common ones here.
Yeah, I'll just go with the rock.
He had two rocks in his bag. That is worth 3 points.
The rock 3 shouldn't have come out yet.
No, I don't think so.
So then what else is covering that mid? He has two rocks, a gator. He's got a sneaky mid in there.
He's got to have
a sneaky mid. That dirty dog, he had a sneaky mid in there.
Surely it's not a Mako. Surely.
It could have been. That could have been a
Mako. Sure,
that could
be a Mako. Sure, it's a Mako.
You do have to think, this is a different era of disc golf.
Yeah, dude, it's probably a zone. Probably Get Freaky Zone.
He probably had a Get Freaky Zone. This is probably the year he threw the Brody Smith buzz in there.
There's still... like
I'm scared.
The fact that he had a beat up AVR.
There's still one easy one, and the rest of them these are hard.
The fact that he had a beat up AVR makes me think he didn't have a Nova yet.
Yeah,
because like, why? What would that dude be doing throwing a Nova and a beat up AVR?
I don't know, man.
He could have been.
I don't know. That guy's crazy.
Give me. He had to have a flippy disc of some type. What would he have chosen? Because like, surely a T-Bird wasn't as flippy as it got in the fairway slot. It could have been.
This one's a head scratcher.
Wait, how many Destroyers did he have in his bag?
Four,
okay.
Four plus he had the crate. That's five drivers. Like, I'm scared to say there's the sixth driver.
There's not another
but
one.
I want to say a sixth driver.
You gotta just go with your heart.
I'm gonna go
with
Leopard. Give me Leopard.
No.
It's fine.
Connor.
Stupid. I'm just kidding. How do you feel about like a TL3? TL. Ooh, could sneak be a TL?
Could be a TL. That's a great joke.
Right now, the score is 10 for Connor and 10 for Hunter.
Wow.
Why'd you have to put that pressure on me, man? Give me XC Nova, baby.
There's no way.
If Hunter doesn't guess right, then you have...
Give me a Max.
There's a 5-pointer.
Yeah! Right there. I was wondering if it was the Max or the Monster.
I was so scared of it, but I had to go with the Max.
Man. All right, Connor,
I was scared of the Max.
There are still plenty of points on the table.
No,
and some
dude,
really
I'm
obvious
done.
Ones as well.
I'm done. I'm scared. I can't think of any.
The Max is the last one I had in my pocket.
I can't think of any. Trev, man. I can't think of any. Okay, what would Paul McBeth, 2012, get in the brain? Get in the brain. I think that, dude, sneaky. When did the Rock 3 come out, dude?
I think 2014.
Kanban, come on, come on, Kanban.
You can guess it. Guess it. What if he has only one Rock
guess
3?
It
just came out.
No, dude, I'm
Connor,
scared.
Please guess.
I'm
it.
Scared.
It could. There were one,
right,
there were
I'm
no there were
go,
two-time rocks. So there might have been one-time rocks.
There's
gone.
Definitely not.
Because there was two-time rocks. There was two-time rock threes.
I'm going.
If you don't, I might.
Stop. Don't do that to me.
If you don't, I think I'm going to.
That's fine. You can. I just have in my head the video where he's talking about different grips and stuff like that. And he's got rock threes. He's got rock threes in his hand. But that might have been 2015.
Speed it up. Let's get a guess out there.
I'm just going to go Mako.
No.
Rock 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first Rock 3s were 2012. They just said 2012 World Champion. I can't believe.
I guessed it. Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy? I just got the point.
You dismissed it earlier, and I just surprised me. I was like, really? Like,
well, I dismissed it when who was talking?
You. Yeah, I think
you did. You talked yourself out of it.
I talked myself back into it once I remembered there were two-time Rock 3s, and I was like, those weren't the first Rock 3s.
Yeah, the first one just said 2012 World Champion. Yeah. There is three molds left on the table, a 5-pointer and 2 4-pointers.
I got another guess.
I'm going to give Connor 20 seconds and then Hunter 20 seconds.
I'm not going to say the name of a disc.
You have 20 seconds starting now.
I'm not going to say the name of a disc.
I only have one more guess.
Think about
an Eagle.
No.
A P2.
Yes, that was another 4-point. That clinches it for Hunter.
Okay.
The other two molds, well, let me double check that. 6, 9, 10, 15, 18, 22. Yeah, that clinches it. It's the other two were, the other five pointer was a Shark 3. It was brand new.
Wow.
That would have been impossible. And then the other one was a putter. What other putter did Paul throw back in the day?
Can he throw a whale? Did he sneaky throw a whale?
Oh, actually, there. Yeah, that's it.
The whale?
Oh, P2.
No. Yeah, I guess P2.
P2.
I guess the P2. I literally just said P2.
Did I give you? Oh, just then you said? I just missed it.
Yeah, I literally just said P2 before that was my last guess.
Oh, I wrong one. Not P2.
PD.
PD was the other one.
Ah, PD.
Yeah, PD. Sorry. Mm. Good game, boys. Good game. That was a really good pick on the Max. That impressed me.
Yeah.
I forgot about
that
one. Eagle was throwing those two back in the day.
I know. I remembered Eagle was throwing it, and I don't know why I was thinking Paul threw the Monster, Eagle threw the Max, but I forgot that Paul also threw the Max.
The first bag that I was going to choose for this game was Jeremy Colling 2017. He had first joined Innova, but like half of his bag was Discmania. I was like, nobody's going to guess any of these molds because he was like throwing CD2s and
I remember
him
throwing
FDs,
a lot of Discmania.
And like he had like four different Discmania molds, I think, and I was just like, and they took up like seven or eight of his discs. I was like, nobody's guessing this. Dude was crazy.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Dude was crazy.
Fun
time.
We got to talk about this. It was from last week. I didn't see this post until Tuesday, so we missed it last week. But we got to talk about Cole Werdalen's rage quit. So this is Cole Werdalen posted this on Instagram. This is his caption. Got to do what you got to do, LOL. DNF from DDO. The FPO finished their round and had to run a playoff, which stopped our card for about 45 minutes. I decided to walk off because the last three holes didn't matter anyways. People always say they are proud they have never dropped out, but I did it for logistical and practical reasons. This is definitely my first time doing so without being sick or injured. My play was really poor. However, I saw so much potential that just needs to be refined. Champions Landing has always been a tough track for me, but I won't stop coming back and giving it my all in future years. I apologize to all of the family and friends that I disappointed with this decision. However, my goals are set higher than holes that don't matter. Not proud of myself at all for throwing in the towel too early in round two. I gave up and let myself spiral into a dark mental space. I'm very excited to get home and regroup the West Coast swing. Miss you, Oregon.
Sorry, not sorry.
Thoughts. Cole so Werdalen. He just if you didn't see it, he was on the tee of 16. There was a video he posted of he threw the tee shot on the tee of 16, grabbed his bag and just walked off. It was like he was joking, laughing, his card mentor laughing, just like walked away.
Yeah, just I done. Think the problem is to Cole, the issue is not with the you quit. The issue is with the sportsmanship of walking off the course while the women are finishing their tournament, while everybody else is not doing that. Like, I think that's the bigger issue. It's not like we're like, oh, man, why'd you just quit DNF? That happens, like, every week. Players do that.
I don't like it when they do it either.
And I don't like that part either, but I think that it sends a pretty bad – this sends a message of the women's division, they kind of ruined it, and so I just decided to leave instead of waiting for them to finish. And do I think that the aggregate playoff caused a backup issue? I do. I do think it is, but, like – just stick it out for another.
Well, also in the current space of our sport, what else are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
Well, like they could have went to a sudden death playoff.
Well, yeah, not do an aggregate
playoff. But like an aggregate playoff was better for that division. It did work better. It was more exciting.
Well,
so like,
no, I still would have not done the aggregate playoff to save. Like now going forward, knowing that that happened, I would probably.
I am confused how it was a 45 minute delay because like they played 16, 17, 18. Like, were they making them wait until the playoff was completely done before they could play a hole?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Interesting.
I don't know.
That's not the culprit here, right? Because, like, FPO did that. Everyone else sat and stayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, you just...
It's not a good look.
It's an immature look, is realistically what it is. And it just was... I was disappointed because I'm a big Cole Werdalen fan, both self-proclaimed and... Well, really all self-proclaimed.
Because, like, nobody... is sitting here... Nobody's debating, like... whether or not the holes you were going to play mattered to your score. Like, of course, we're not debating
that. Well, they didn't matter to your score.
Well, right, as far
but
as,
they
like...
didn't matter to your finishing play, sure.
But it's like, yeah, it's just like...
But my thing is, I'm sure there was someone on the wait list that would have loved that spot if you were just going to give it up. And also, like, you committed to playing a tournament. Play the tournament.
Yeah, just like...
And, like, for practical and logistical reasons, what if you were on lead card? You'd have been there for hours later. Had you played good, you would have found a way to make it home still. Just fine.
Yeah.
Can't wait 45 minutes to play three more holes?
No, it wasn't a good look. It's definitely a my time is more important than everybody else's.
Yeah, I did not enjoy it. I did not like it. But hopefully it's a learning moment. This is the type moment where I wish they were,
well,
they were
not,
fined.
Because he said he's not. He kind of said sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, he basically said, like, I back up my action. But this is where I wish there were fines. Because, like, the Pro Tour, this should be a finable offense. If you have, like, evidence
probably
that someone just, like, walked out for no reason. Like, that should be. It should be. I mean, because right now all we have is, like, an 888. Which even in this case, I think you can make an argument that 888 wouldn't apply. But, like, even that, it's like, oh, no, my rating might go down for a few points for the next 6 months. Like, that doesn't affect anyone.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, to me, this is a...
I don't know. It's a tough one because, like, you don't want... Players should not be a hostage at the event.
No, if you have a reason, though...
Right.
Like, this is... He's just legit saying, like, you...
It's definitely different than he just came right out and said, like, I wasn't sick. I wasn't injured.
I'm just like, deuces, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, it's complete... You're not held hostage if there's, like, a family emergency happen. You have to go. Mm-hmm. Completely different. Yeah. You roll your ankle and you're like, you know what? These next few holes don't matter. I really need to just go home and rest this thing so I can make sure I'm... Completely different. Like, plenty of... But, like, he himself is saying... This isn't a speculation of, like, oh, that dude wasn't actually sick. Oh, mm-hmm. Like, he said, I dropped out without being sick or injured.
Mm. Yeah, not great.
Yeah.
Not
great. To me, that's where I'm like, the Pro Tour should have some type of fine or some type of system of, like... Because you're not holding players hostage where, like, if you have a true reason to go...
Well, it just becomes, like, a what's the right reason. I mean, and to be fair, fines in every sport are somewhat subjective... You never, like, sometimes.
Yeah, Pat Bev was just playing catch with a fan and got suspended.
Sometimes it feels like they spin a wheel and that's how they decide to hand out fines in different sports. But yeah, I don't know. It was the, like, the biggest thing for me is it felt like an upstaging of the FPO division to me. It felt like, well, I'm not going to wait on them. I'm out of here. Like, that's how this is going to come across to a lot of people, even if he's just truly like, I don't want to wait. You know, I've got to. Get on the road.
Well, look, this is the flip side of that is, like, that's fine. Don't film it and post about
right.
it.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, it's also another thing where we probably wouldn't even have to talk about it if it weren't that you,
well,
like, made
thing,
a spectacle out of
without
it.
Without this post, like, I went and looked at the Pro Tour points and Cole Rodalyn had zero. Yeah. I just assumed he wasn't there.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice last week.
Making a big deal about
or,
it.
Or, like, if you played
16
holes
idea.
In DNF, everyone's just going to assume injury, sickness, something happened for you to leave. Like,
yeah.
Making a like joking, lighthearted post about walking off is what rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah,
that's what got me being like, this is just, to me, it is just someone who just has maturing to do. Where it's just like I would have probably done something like that in high school and been like, yeah, that's funny. You know what I mean? Like, walked out of PE class early.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
You're
like, that would,
right. Yeah, you're probably right.
That's what it seemed to me. It rubbed me the wrong way. But don't worry, Cole. Still love you. Here to see you grow.
He probably owes me Chick-fil-A now.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, you might owe Trevor. You send
that's
Trevor some Chick-fil-A. That's the fine. A grip lock and post fine. Grip lock and
we
post
should
fine.
Start fining players. That's a great idea.
I think it's a grip lock and post.
Like, send them letters.
Grip lock and post fine. He's banned from people's top three until he sends Trevor Chick-fil-A. That's blackmail or something. I don't think we should do that.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
Probably a bad idea. Yeah. That was all a joke, Cole.
I think that's I think that's
we'll accept Chick-fil-A if you send it. It won't get you anything, though.
I think that's media manipulation.
Yeah. We aren't going to change the way we talk about you in any way, shape, or form.
Listen,
if you do,
man,
or do not send us Chick-fil-A, we will enjoy it if you did.
We only state the facts on this podcast. Jesse Niemann, Pro Tour winner.
That is a fact.
That's a fact.
Proven fact.
Yep.
Jesse Niemann has more Pro Tour wins than Ricky Wysocki this year.
That's a fact.
Wow, yeah.
It's a fact.
It's a fact.
I wanted to bring up this FPO. Reddit thread about MPO and FPO to wrap up the show because I thought it was just a fun thread, and we'll read some of their answers and then get y'all's. This is from Tasty Internal 9164. Don't think about that username too much. Nope. Underwhelming 2024 MPO and FPO play from ... So basically, it was asking who has had a slow start. Who are you wishing started a bit hotter or at least started off playing halfway decent top 20s? This person was saying they were hoping more consistent plan out of Paul Kranz.
Yeah.
That was kind of their choice.
It's pronounced crayon.
the most highly voted was Isaac Robinson.
Yeah.
Which I think is the probably the most obvious answer here.
Yeah. I'm thinking Scott Stokely.
The next most voted was... actually, never mind. That wasn't the most voted. That was just the highest... Maybe didn't have many dislikes. So I don't know. This one said the first person comes to mind is Kevin Jones.
Kevin Jones is just not good.
Kevin Jones has just been
Getting married, multiple, though. Congratulations, Kev.
Yeah. For multiple years, Kevin Jones has just been the most underwhelming because, like, he screams potential.
He's yelling it in your face.
Yeah, yeah, like, he, like, started a band called Exit 44 and just strummed potential out on Spotify. He has so much yet. Just never comes out. Will he ever be more than potential? We will still yet to know.
Still yet to know.
The another one was James Proctor. Good answer, I think.
I would say a big one would be Brody Smith.
Oh, yeah, Brody Smith.
This person said FPO Ali Smith and MPO Aaron Gossage.
Oh, Gossage is definitely one for me. Yeah. Yeah, Gossage is like, I really expected huge things from him this year. Haven't really gotten it so far.
Corey Ellis, another one thrown out there.
Yeah, he was kind of a one-hit wonder. So you could have argued Simon until he got his win.
I'm going to lock. I think I'd have to go with Isaac Robinson just because after last season, I expected him like at least a Champions Cup to be up in contention. Like, I can understand some of the courses weren't like really his thing, but like,
he played pretty well at Champions Cup.
Anybody come in? But like, he didn't win.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say. I think at one point in the tournament, I feel like he was like,
I think it was just first round. Champions Cup, he ended up coming in 22nd.
No, he fell back a lot at the end.
Yeah. Like, his best finish was 9th at DDO.
Yeah.
Hit 47th at Waco. Actually, never mind. 6th at chess.com. So he like started out fine, then went 47th, 29th, 22nd, 10th, 71st, 22nd.
But at Vegas, man, he just took like a 5th.
Yeah. I don't know. I just expected more out of Isaac Robinson. I expected Ricky to have notched a win by now, but he hasn't had a underwhelming would be a bad way to put it because like he's played fine. He just hasn't won. Yeah. And like there's nothing wrong with that.
I think Isaac
might be the best answer.
He definitely elevated his expectations pretty high with the major wins last year, but I think that he is still a blooming player.
Now, who has exceeded your expectations? To finish the podcast.
Well, I expected AB to win all these events.
Probably
so,
Jesse.
No, Joey Buckets.
I'm going to think my biggest surprise.
Joey Buckets.
I think I'm going to go with Presnell. The Champions Cup win and then following up with 5th at DDO.
No.
If I would have told you that last year, like one's believing
of
that.
Of course.
Joey
of
Buckets
course.
Had tons of potential. People like.
He's exceeded my expectations. Like Presnell winning that Champions Cup was like, yes, that was crazy, but like. Sometimes there's random things that happen in disc golf that you're like, that would just happen. And I feel like Presnell winning that event in the woods, like that would just happen.
Well, because AB, like, I feel like everyone's always thought this was in him.
No, I mean, my real answer would still have to be AB. Like, three events this early in the season, like, that is, he has exceeded my expectations a ton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's
guys,
crazy
I talked
start.
To my-
Evelina.
Well, let's look at it this way, Trev. Because I think I agree. Like you'd have to statistically say AB, but if you were last year and you had two bets in front of you, okay. I don't think this is the right way to look at this question. This is a separate fun question.
Okay.
You have two bets in front of you. You have to put $100 on one of the two happening.
Okay.
Okay. One is AB is going to have 3 Pro Tour wins by May.
Okay.
Bet two is Andrew Presnell is going to win a major. We won't even say it was Champions Cup, just a major. Which one are you putting $100 on?
I got to be honest with you. That's a hard bet.
Yeah.
Because 3 by May is crazy. Crazy. And this is at the beginning of the year.
This is last year. Yeah. This is like in the off season.
I think I would have bet.
I think I would have put Presnell, to be honest.
Okay, I probably still would have taken AB.
But 3
because
wins?
Because I just don't think Presnell, like at a major, like would have even been fathomable to me.
I would have thought it would have happened at USDGC. Is what I think because
the odds
like,
are definitely higher though. I definitely could have been talked onto the Presnell thing. I would have had to like look back at all his finishes at other events, but like it would have been easier to talk me into the Presnell one than the AB one.
I think just because AB having to win 3,
that's crazy.
Would have, he had won 0 in the off season. What would you have put your $100 on, Con? I think I would have went Presnell simply because I would have been thinking.
I would have been thinking
like USDGC or World or something.
Presnell, I can see happening. So I would say Presnell.
Yeah. AB in the offseason, I would have been like, I think he could get a win this upcoming year.
Yeah.
But like 3? No,
if you
had, 3 before
If you
would have
told me 3
May?
For the entire year, I would have taken that half of the bet. But 3 before May, no, I think it would have been tough.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever
okay, take that.
Okay, so what
I would
about
never
that?
Take it.
Are you thinking if it was AB wins 3 Pro Tour events all season
I'd have taken that one.
Versus yeah. Presnell 1 major?
I'd have taken that one. I still would have thought both are not happening, but I would
yeah,
have taken
I
it.
Think I'm in a similar place.
Well, no, if someone would have come and said one of the two of these happens... Because which one are you president?
Because I think I'm still taking president.
Like, they told you it's a guarantee one of these two happened.
I'm still taking president. I've believed in president's abilities.
What are you talking about?
I've always thought that he had a good golf.
I think
him.
I would have.
What makes
been,
you think that?
I've watched him play. I like it.
He is a solid golfer overall. Yeah. Number one fairway driver. Most underrated.
I think
I would have went. I would have probably three wins all season.
You're such
a
president's fan. Name three of his songs, bro.
Three of his songs.
I think all season I would have switched it to AB.
I weirdly knew Presnell's bag semi well. I think I watched a video back in the day. Maybe
do you
like
weirdly
him.
Know the Silas Select bag?
Yes.
What is it?
Let me say something really quick.
Oh, okay.
So I talked to my sister-in-law's boyfriend this weekend.
Uh-huh.
He's not like a disc golfer, but he like got recommended some disc golf videos on his YouTube, and they were all like. Obviously, like Jomez coverage from like 2020, 2021, 2022. And he said, I watched these like disc golf videos. It was some kind of championship or tournament or something. And it was like 2021 or like something like that. He was like, there's, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And he was like, yeah, there's just like this one guy who just like wins everything like every time. And I'm like, yep, that's Paul McBeth. And he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. And then he was like, yeah, I really didn't like him at first, but then I was like, well, I guess I kind of have to like him because he wins everything. And I was like, yeah, well, don't watch anything from recently because it's a whole different story.
That's funny.
It was really funny.
Just tell him to go back and watch just the good different old days, man.
It was just,
2014.
It's just so crazy to think about how different disc golf was even just a few years ago.
That is true. What's in here, Con?
What's in there? Hunt?
Yeah.
In there?
In here. Solid Select. It's a disc. One disc.
Yeah, pass. I'll go last.
What's the...
You would, Trev.
I'm going to say that's an Elevation Arowana.
Interesting. That's a good guess.
I like Silas Smirks,
dude,
bro.
Dude, why do I kind of feel like that's it? Why do I kind of feel like that's it,
I
Trevor?
Al's got a smirk on his face right now, dude. He's Silas Smirks right now.
I'm going to take a Warlock.
It's gonna be
I'm going to take a Gateway Silas Warlock.
It's gonna, if it's a different
right
Elevation,
Gateway
it's
out right now.
Warlock.
Well, I know that it's a Trash Panda inner core.
If it's a different Elevation, it's going to freak out. It's Elevation?
No. Zero Gravity Pure.
Dirty I've never dog, seen dude. That stamp in my life.
Luca's been throwing his around the house. It's a, you know what? Great work, Silas, because this is a great promotional piece. I don't even know if we have these on the site anymore, but they just dropped this weekend. 129 gram.
Wow. Yeah,
so I got one for my son. He's almost two. And yeah, he's been throwing them around. That's a great if you are just getting into disc golf.
Also, if you yeah, say
if you have a junior
older than two, you can throw it as
yeah.
well.
If you have a junior player,
I don't think our demographic's gonna hit that well.
Well, no, I was just saying like it's just zero gravity, super lightweight. It's
yeah,
great for juniors. People are always
if you're 2 years old and you're watching this, you would love this disc.
If you throw it in the air right now, it won't come back down.
Dude, that the way that ramped off that line.
I tossed it straight
sick.
Up. What
it's
what do you
sticking
mean?
To the ceiling now. How
it's
the heck
floating.
Are we going to get it down?
Oh, wow. Well, zero yeah. gravity.
It's, liars. You guys are lying. I'll call you out.
What are you talking about?
Prove it.
Yeah, prove it.
No, thanks.
See you next week.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. He's Jean LeFoot!
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries? Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.